I know I say this every year, but I feel like Thanksgiving really snuck up on us this time. I mean, weren't we just finishing up summer vacation and getting ready for the school year to start, like, yesterday? Welcome to Redeeming the Chaos. This is the podcast for moms who may feel a bit frazzled and overwhelmed by the responsibility of raising boys, and who might have forgotten that Thanksgiving is next week, which means it's also time to start thinking about Christmas. Sorry, am I overwhelming you even more? Well, I hope you will join me on the wild, wonderful adventure of raising courageous boys and connecting their hearts to Christ. Each year on Redeeming the Chaos, I post an episode that's all about contentment and gratitude. I was recently interviewed on the Full Spectrum Parent podcast, and we talked about how to cultivate a heart of gratitude in ourselves and in our kids. So today's episode is going to be a crosscast of my interview on that show. But before we get to the show itself, I just want to remind you that my new devotional book for boys, Rise of the Enemy, book one in the Dragon Slayer Bible series, is now available on Amazon. If you haven't yet purchased a copy for all of the 8 to 12 year old boys in your life, it would make a great Christmas gift or stocking stuffer. Also, if you have already purchased the book, would you please leave a review for the book on Amazon? That would be super helpful. Reviews are really important for authors for several reasons. Number one, they provide social proof so that other people can read the reviews and see that, oh yeah, this is a book that I would really like for my son, that my son would really enjoy. And then also, the more reviews a book has on Amazon, the more the Amazon algorithm will promote that book to other readers. Just another reminder that I am holding a giveaway through the end of November for anyone who purchases a copy of the book. So just email me a screenshot of your receipt and I will send you a copy of the printable Dragon Slayer Bible coloring book. And you will also be entered into a drawing to win a really cool wooden sword for your boys. Just email me a copy of your receipt and make sure that you put book launch prizes in the subject line so that I can keep track of those emails. Just head over to dragonslayerbible.com to learn more about the giveaways. Last week, I had the privilege of speaking to a local Christian school. I was able to talk to second through sixth graders about my book, and we talked about the importance of putting on the armor of God, and it was so much fun to just see their excitement. Some of the boys were just like, I have to have this book. They were so excited. One little boy told me that my book cover looked sick. I don't know if you guys are on my mailing list, you might have seen that already, but so sick is a compliment. That's a good thing that he thought my book cover looked sick. And it's just been so much fun being able to interact with kids and get their feedback and see their reactions. And goodness, I felt like a celebrity. They all wanted my autograph. And I was like, you know, guys, I'm really not that famous. Some of the kids were joking. They're like, can we sell your autograph on eBay? I'm like, I mean, good luck with that. But anyway, so that was super fun. Just wanted to give you that update. Okay, so we're just about to listen to my interview on the Full Spectrum Parent podcast hosted by Greg and Jessica Hurlbut. But I wanted to tell you a little bit about their podcast before we dive in. So Full Spectrum Parent is the only faith-based autism parenting podcast on the web. Greg and Jessica Hurlbut are parents of 5 children, 2 autistic, 2 adopted, and 1 future president. They desire to serve special needs families each week with a dose of help, a dose of humor, and a dose of hope. And you can find their show at jessicahurlbut.com/full-spectrum-parenting. And there's dashes in there, full-spectrum-parenting. But I will also have a link for you in the show notes for this episode, lauriechristine.com/82. So I don't know if I have shared this explicitly with you before, but my oldest son is on the high end of the autism spectrum. It's what used to be called Asperger's. So I have really appreciated listening to Jessica's podcast and the wisdom and encouragement she and Greg have to share with their listeners. So if you have a child with autism or any special needs, really, be sure to check out Full Spectrum Parent. Now here is my interview on the Full Spectrum Parent podcast with Jessica Hurlbut.
Welcome to episode 69, and the title of this episode is Cultivating Gratitude in Our Kids. Anybody else want their kids to be more thankful for things? With Thanksgiving coming up and the holiday season, the truth is it can be hard sometimes for our kids to not just think about all the things that they want. And there's almost this entitlement mentality that rises up. Just the other day, my daughter had got the Amazon catalog in the mail. You guys all get that, right? And she was circling like everything on every page. And I said, honey, you can't have all of those things. And she's like, all the things? So this is just a topic I think we all struggle with. We all are challenged with. And today, to kind of speak on that, is Lori Christine. So we're going to move into our dose of help. And we'd love for you, Lori, to tell us a little bit about you, about your family, and your faith journey.
Sure. So my name is Lori Christine, and I'm a mom of four boys, ages 7, 9, 11, and 13. So we have just moved into those teenage years, and we're navigating what it means to have a teenager in the house. And Jessica, I have really appreciated your podcast and all of the wisdom that you have to offer. We have a son who is on the high end of the autism spectrum. So we can relate to a lot of the topics that you discuss in your show and some of the struggles that your listeners face as well. And then as far as my faith journey, I came to know the Lord as a young girl, and God has been so faithful in continuing to draw me closer to himself. And he has given me a passion to teach the Bible to children and to provide resources for families to help them do the same.
I love that. So yeah, you know, with holidays coming, our kids want everything. Why do you think it's so hard for teens and kids to be grateful nowadays?
Well, I love that you mentioned the Amazon catalog, because my kids do the same thing. It comes in the mail and they look through everything and they want everything. And it is hard because we live in a world where everything comes with two-day Prime shipping, print on demand, and our kids are constantly bombarded with marketing and advertising, trying to convince them that they want and that they need more stuff. Right. But while we do live in a society that might make it more difficult to be content, we really can't blame Amazon or the advertising industry or our consumer-minded society, because people have been struggling with contentment for thousands of years. King Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes said, "Everything is wearisome beyond description. No matter how much we see, we are never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we are not content." And this was coming from King Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived.
Who had everything.
But interestingly, who had everything. Exactly. He had riches. He had women. He had all exactly. of the things. But the struggle with contentment goes back even further in history to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And I would argue that the very first sin, its root was discontentment. God had blessed Adam and Eve with everything they could possibly need. And he said that they could eat from any tree in the garden except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But Adam and Eve wanted more. They were not satisfied with what God had given them. They didn't trust that God's provisions were enough, and they believed the lie that God was holding out on them. And I think that that is what we fall victim to so many times as well, just believing that lie that, you know, God isn't enough for you. God isn't giving you everything that you need, or there's something out there that would make your life better, make your life easier. So ultimately, contentment really isn't about stuff. It's not a stuff issue. It's not about having stuff or not having stuff or getting rid of stuff. It's about your heart. Contentment is a heart issue at its core.
I love that. Contentment is a heart issue because, you know, like you said, our kids live in a world that just says you need more and more stuff, and they're not looking at their hearts. A lot of the times they're looking at every friend around them, right? And what they have and what they don't have. And that's so good. So as a Christian parent, what are some of the practical ways you've taught your kids to be more thankful and content?
Sure. So there are four different ways that I like to talk about that we can teach our kids to be thankful and content. So the first one is to pray for gratitude. There's a verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and it says, "Always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." So if we know that it's God's will for us to be thankful, then we can also pray for that in the hearts of our kids, because God wants us to pray according to his will. So first of all, pray that God would give your kids a heart of contentment. The second one is to model gratitude. Mm-hmm. And I know this is difficult as parents, because we wonder sometimes, how am I supposed to teach my kids to be thankful when I myself am struggling with discontentment?
Right.
And I would say that, again, in order to model gratitude, we also have to pray and ask God to give us a heart of gratitude, a heart of contentment, and ask him to give us the strength to be content with what he has given us. We know 1 Thessalonians that it's God's will for us to be thankful so that we can pray according to his will. Mm-hmm. And then I would say also, as far as modeling gratitude, is to just seek God and spend as much time in God's word as you can, because since we know that the root of discontentment is a heart issue, and it's the lie that God is holding out on you and he doesn't love you, the more time we spend in God's word and the more we get to know his character, then we know that he gives good gifts to his children, and we know that he wants what's best for us. And so then that will help us to develop a heart of gratitude as well. And then the third thing that we can do with our kids is to practice gratitude. And I have some really practical things on my website, practical ideas, and I actually put a bunch of several of them together into a gratitude bundle for you. And it has some printable activities that you can do with your kids to teach them to be thankful and content. So three of the things that are in that little bundle, the first one is a gratitude journal. You can print out copies for yourself or your kids, and then each day write down something that you're thankful for. And then you can have a time of family sharing and share some of the things that you wrote. There's two different journal pages. One is for kids who are able to write and who can, you know, there's a space for them to write out a sentence. And then there's one for younger kids where they could just draw a picture if they're not able to write out a sentence.
Right.
So the gratitude journal, and then there's a gratitude banner. So there's printable banner flags that you can print out. You can make several copies of it and then have your kids write or draw something that they're thankful for on each piece of the banner. And then you can hang it up in your house as a reminder of different things you're thankful for and just thinking about what you want to be thankful for. And then you can continue adding to that banner throughout the month of November. And then the last thing in that little bundle is some printable Bible verse cards that have just some fun images that you can print out, hang them around your house, read them together at dinner each night, maybe choose a couple to memorize together. And it's just a great way to remind your kids of the importance of being thankful and content and just being in God's word together as a family. And you can find those the gratitude bundle at my website. And I actually have a special link just for your listeners today, Jessica. So it's lauriechristine.com/full-spectrum-parent.
Oh, and that's so special. That's awesome. I just love that. I love that idea too, because like I think about, you know, every night we don't always sit down for family dinner. We try to, but sometimes somebody has a sports thing or whatever. But we always do that highs and low kind of thing when our kids stand around. But this is way better. Like, what's something you're thankful for today? Whether they wrote it down, you know, in the gratitude journal or not, like to just practice, you're practicing that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's similar to a highs and lows, but it's with this attitude of I'm grateful, I'm thankful. Like, let's keep God in the equation of this, not just like, what was the best thing that happened today? Or what was the worst thing, you know? So I just love all those resources. That's awesome. They were very easy to find when I went to your website. Like, it was one of the first things I saw. I was like, oh, this is what she's talking about. So I encourage you guys, if you're listening, you know, to check that out. Especially, obviously, we have the special link just for us, which I feel so honored.
The fourth thing that I had said as far as just teaching our kids to be more thankful is to help them experience gratitude. Mm. And that looks like, you know, we talked about how our culture is teaching our kids to be entitled. It's teaching our kids, you know, if you want something, you should have it right away. And it's this culture of immediate gratification. So one of the things that we try to do with our kids to help them develop thankfulness and to experience thankfulness is to practice delayed gratification. So, you know, if they want to purchase a specific toy or a game, even if it's with their own money, we make them wait a little while. You know, like maybe they, you know, just got money for their birthday and they're like, okay, I'm going to go spend it. I'm like, well, you know, let's just wait. Let's think about this. Let's think about, put some wisdom into your choices of what you're going to purchase. And just like that act of making them wait a little bit helps them to be more thankful for what they are getting in the end. And then along with waiting, we also encourage our kids to earn money in order to purchase something they want. You know, working around the house, working hard towards a goal of earning money to purchase something really special can also help them to build that gratitude and that character as they're realizing like, oh, their hard work, they're really looking forward to something, and then they're more thankful because they invested in it and they put that hard work into it.
Right. That's really good. I mean, that's something that we always struggle with our kids because they have an uncle who we love very much. He's kind of like a grandpa. And he gives them money for doing work for him, but the work is like, hey, go put this in the garbage. Here's $20.
Oh, my word.
So we're always combating that where it's like, if he wants to bless the kids, I don't want to tell him no. But then they get in this mentality of like, what work is. And I'm like, that's not work. That's not hard. It doesn't, like, life doesn't work that way. That's a whole hour, an hour and a half's work, you know?
Yeah. Yes, for sure.
So yeah, that's a great point. So awesome. Well, thanks for sharing all those just tips and just things you've done with your kids. It's just super helpful to hear from somebody that's in the trenches, right? You know? So we're going to move into our dose of humor, and we would love for you, Lori, to share a funny story about your kids or your family.
Absolutely. So I had a hard time thinking of just one funny story to share because there's just so many. So this is one funny story that I like to share, and my podcast is called Redeeming the Chaos, and that's just somehow what I feel like life with boys, four boys, several with some special needs, and yeah. Sometimes it just feels a little chaotic. So anyway, I was working in my office. This was over the summer a couple years ago, I think. And the kids were home. They were playing upstairs. I think they had a neighbor boy over to play with. And I was working downstairs. And my kids are all old enough, you know, like they don't need constant supervision. They're old enough to go up, you know, play upstairs on their own for a while. And
right.
So I heard some thumping and some loud noises. And I was like, oh, what's going on? Maybe I should go check on them and just see what's going on. So I walked out of my office to head upstairs to check on the kids. So I walked past the front door and there was a car parked in the middle of the road. And there was a woman walking up our front sidewalk, someone I didn't know. I was like, oh, that's weird. And she looked like she was on a mission. She was marching up to our front door. And I was like, oh, well, I guess I better check and see what she wants before I go and check on my kids. I was like, what in the world? So I poked my head out the door and I'm like, hey, can I help you? And she looked at me with this stern face and she said, excuse me, are you aware that there are children on your roof?
Oh, no.
I was like, oh, why, thank you. No, I was not aware of that, but thank you for making me aware. And oh, my word, they were up in the room playing and they decided to climb out the window onto the roof. Somehow they had locked the door of the room and locked themselves in the room. And decided it would be a good idea to climb out on the roof rather than calling for help or knocking or anything like that. So they climbed out the window onto the roof and had walked across the front of the house. And then like we have kind of a slant, like a lower level of a roof. So they had jumped off of there and then off the back. So by the time I turned to look, they had already run across the roof, jumped over down onto the lower level and off the back of the roof.
Wow.
And into the house again. And oh my gosh, talk about like a awful parenting moment with this stranger standing there. And I'm like, oh, well, yeah, thank you for letting me know that the kids.
You're like, that's how they get down every day. They just jump off.
Yeah, like, well, this is normal, right? And I, you know, it was one of the situations where I didn't even know what to say. And I think I just was like, okay, thanks. And I turned and walked away and I like stormed back in the house. I'm like, guys, what are you doing?
So many situations like that, not necessarily the roof, but when you're so embarrassed, like by your kids in the scenario that you just have to walk away, like, okay, so sorry, bye-bye. Like, I can't even have a dialogue about this right now. Oh, absolutely, that's a good one. My kids have done a lot. They haven't done the roof. My one daughter, my daughter with autism, she did at one point, though, I don't even understand how, she got a rope And she used the gutter of the side of our house and shimmied down our porch roof, along the gutter. It was very, James Bond. Like, it was very impressive.
Oh, my goodness.
I had to give her some points because I'm like, sometimes I'm always like, what is she capable of? I'm like, she's capable of a lot.
Yes.
We figured that out.
I gotta give them credit for ingenuity and creativity. Exactly.
They're going to be engineers or something.
Problem solving.
It's too funny.
Yeah,
we're going to move into our dose of hope. Just wanted to ask you, Lori, if there was a particular, you did mention a couple verses, but is there a particular Bible verse that you cling to or maybe you've memorized with your kids that reminds you to be thankful and content?
Yes, absolutely. One of my favorite passages about contentment is in Philippians 4, verses 11 through 13. And it's the Apostle Paul, and he says, I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or with little.
Mm.
And there's a few things that I just want to mention about those verses. Paul says, I have learned to be content. So it's not something that comes naturally. It's something that can be learned, and therefore it's something that can be taught as well. And he says, I have learned the secret of living in every situation. So what is that secret? Well, the very next verse in Philippians 4:13 says, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. How many of you have that as your life verse over your bed? You know, we know that verse. We quote that verse in any and every situation where we need God's help and God's strength. And I don't think it's wrong to do that. I think we absolutely can do that. But I bet you didn't remember or recognize that that verse is in the context of contentment. Paul's secret to being content and living in any situation is Christ. Christ's
really good.
Strength. Christ gives me strength. Therefore, I can do everything through him. So that's just a verse about contentment that is always so encouraging to me.
I love that. And you're right. I did not really ever put that into context. This, that verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I always just think of that in just the general sense. Like, don't be overwhelmed. Jesus is in you. That's so good.
Right. Which is true.
But you learn, you learn and read the Bible, that you need to look at things in context too, because sometimes you're not seeing the full picture. And that's just a really cool verse to kind of, examine there. That's so true. So Lori, I have another question for you. Many of our listeners are special needs parents, and they may struggle with being content and grateful themselves. And I know you've had a lot of great advice for kids, but do you have any advice particularly for parents? You talked about the whole idea of modeling, and it's like, yes, we know Jesus is the one that helps us. But do you have any thoughts?
So as I mentioned earlier, my oldest son is on the high end of the autism spectrum, and we've worked through some other behavioral issues and some of our other kids as well. And I love each of my children dearly, but I will admit that some days it is tempting to look around at everyone else's families, the families whose children are all perfectly well behaved, and ask God, why? Why does my family look like this? Why do my kids struggle with these particular things? Why can't we just be normal? And I'm sure that some of you have probably asked the same thing. And I don't want to pretend to know or understand each of your individual situations. And I know that many of you are likely dealing with situations that are many more times more difficult than my own family. But there are a few things that have encouraged me, and I hope that they are an encouragement to you as well. So number one, don't believe the lie that God gave you these children because he knew you could handle it, or because that you're such an amazing person. God absolutely gives us more than we can handle. I know that you've had people say that to you. Oh, God won't give you more than you can handle. Or, oh, God gave you these kids because he knew that you could handle it. Or he knew you're just such an awesome mom or dad that's why he gave them to you. And I mean, I've had people say that to me, and I'm like, I can't handle this. God absolutely gives us more than we can handle. And I have a whole podcast episode on that. I'll send you the link to that episode. But when we deal with situations that are more than we can handle, God wants us to draw closer to him. Mm-hmm. He wants us to rely on him for our strength. He knows that we are weak. He knows our weaknesses, and he wants us to draw closer to him. So that's my first piece of encouragement. And then the next piece is super practical, and that's get off of social media or at least cut back on social media. You know, Facebook and Instagram, they tend to breed discontentment when we compare our lives to others. Mm-hmm. We're looking at other families and their perfect lives, or which are not perfect. We know that they're not perfect, but it still breeds that discontentment. We allow bitterness and discontentment to grow in our hearts and comparison. And so just, you know, stay away from all that social media as much as possible. I can't tell you how many times I delete the Facebook app off of my phone. And then a couple weeks later, I put it back on and then I delete it again. I'm like, no, I don't want to be on here.
Yeah. I mean, there's certain seasons I just know not to be on Facebook. Like spring break, I never go on Facebook because I get sad seeing all the other families on vacation. I mean, I've been blessed to be able to go on vacation. I'm not saying that isn't a possibility for me, but never. We've never been as a family. So it always bothers me. So I just don't go on that week and almost the next week too, because it's just hard. Yeah, that's really good advice.
Yeah. I know we talked about just practicing gratitude, but I think that gratitude is the cure for discontentment. You know, we're teaching our kids how to be thankful. And I think practicing some of those things ourselves is really helpful, you know, just writing down one thing. And I apologize if I'm making the assumption that you're discontent about your kids. Maybe it's other things in life, you know, maybe you're discontent about your house or your job, whatever it is, but write down one thing that you are thankful for in that situation. You know, so if you're discontent with your house because, oh, there's all these unfinished projects and all these things that aren't working and whatever, just make a list, or every day write down one thing that you are thankful for about your house, or one thing that you do love about your kids. Even if you can only come up with one thing that day, or maybe it's the same thing for many days, that's fine. Just focus on the positive aspects of what you do love and thank God for them. Bring them before the Lord. And we mentioned the two things earlier also, just praying for God to give you the strength to be content with what he's given you. And then just spending time in God's word, spending more time with God and getting to know his character and his love for us, and knowing that he delights in giving good gifts to his children.
There's a verse in Philippians 2:13 that says, God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him.
Even if we don't have the desire, like even if we're like, God, I don't even want to be content. I'm just happy with grumbling and complaining and I'm good where I am. You know, asking God, please change my heart. Give me the desire to do what you want and the power to do what you want me to do.
That's so great. Well, thank you, Lori, for investing your time in us and just sharing a little bit about your heart and your devotional. I'm just so excited to see what God's going to do in and through your ministry and your life.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by my interview with Jessica on the Full Spectrum Parent podcast. If you would like to download my Gift of Gratitude bundle that we talked about on the show, just go to my website, lauriechristine.com/thankful. And there's a link to download the gratitude bundle that I mentioned. And I will also have a link in the show notes for today's episode, lauriechristine.com/82, or you can find it at redeemingthechaos.com. May God fill you with a spirit of gratitude and contentment in Him this holiday season.